while the world whizzes by. Enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
I'm Bob Williams, and to my side, it's our humble host, Jim Gerhardt. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everybody. A little touch of springtime out there today. Puts a bit of spring in your step. Feels good. This is, if you hear a sound, it's kind of like a rumbling, whirring type sound. And what it is, if you put your ear to the ground, the founding fathers of this country are whirling over in their graves, not just turning over in their graves, but they are spinning like a duck on a runaway rotisserie.
Yeah.
Over the behavior of our Congress. What is it? Last night, the Congress had passed a bill which has to be moved on out of the Senate then to the president. But it's in the early stages and it looks like it's a done deal to completely change the character of America's elections.
Right.
And put elections in the hands of the federal government, which means the party in power can manipulate our elections any way they want. So if this goes through, it is clearly unconstitutional because there's nothing clearer in the Constitution than the fact that states individually set the rules for elections. This way, it opens it wide open for any kind of influencing. I don't dare say corruption. That's politically not nice, but any influence that anybody wants to exert. And believe me, they want to exert it. So that explains the sound. I just thought I would bring that up.
Right.
So, Bob, what some observations you've made this morning?
Well, to your point about that H.R. 1 voter legislation that just passed the lower house last night, I would also call it are we now the United States of America? Where's the autonomy of the 50 individual states? I mean, just a couple. I'm very, very upset about this. I mean, it really just makes it legal that all states have to offer mail-in voting and. Mm-hmm. Which is certainly rife for issues, and it really just turns the tables in favor of one party or another, and it's very, very disturbing. United States of America, where's the local government rule here?
Well, the reason you're getting disturbed, and a lot of people are, is that you're looking at this from some standpoint of reason and sense. What makes sense? You cannot look at what's going on in this country politically now from that standpoint. One overriding issue is the complete grab for consolidation of power by one political group, one political party. And they're acting fast to get this done while nobody's looking. You know, we're going to divert you with a virus or whatever else, or the fact that Governor Cuomo had looked cross-eyed at a woman. And while we gain this power, so everything is done for the consolidation of the power. Now, one thing, this, of course, is my thought, speculation, if you want. I don't think it's a widespread theory, but it seems to me obvious. The only thing that this group fears, this progressive cabal that's taken over here, the triumvirate, I guess, the only thing that they really fear politically now is the midterm election, which comes up in 2 years. In the midterm election, the party in power generally loses seats. Now, the houses of Congress are so closely aligned now, divided to a minimal, that the ruling party only has a bare majority in these. It could lose power. Chances are they probably would lose some power. And it's very likely in 2 years, the people in response to what's going on could go to the polls and overturn this entire Congress and put the other party in. So they have to guard against that. They have to start now. And of course, there you go, the voting change here, which gives them great power to, as I said, to influence elections or even to call the election off if they want, because they're acting in a very dictatorial fashion.
Right.
So I think you have to look at it that way. Because when you discuss these things, and I thought a good reason for that, as we talked about this last week, the marijuana law in New Jersey, that stops police from notifying parents of children.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, so the obvious question is, why? What's the point in that? There isn't any. Nobody can come up with a reason for that because it's so ridiculous. The whole thing, it ends up as part and parcel of what serves the agenda of an ideology, a group, a movement, if you want, that is taking over power. And they're in the catbird seat right now in Washington. And you can't get answers, especially from the president. You see the bit yesterday, President O'Biden was addressing a group, and I do not recall journalist or what. At the very end, he said, okay, now I will take questions if there are any.
Yeah.
He took a breath to point and say, what's your question? But before that, his handlers grabbed him and dragged him off the stage.
So
they will not. For some reason, even the president of the United States cannot speak for himself. And so what you are getting then, anytime he does make an address, unfortunately, this man is ending up like a Chatty Cathy doll. Somebody's back there, an ideological monitor, pulls the cord in the back of the neck, and he comes out and says, we are doing this for the people. So it's... It's a strange world going on. But again, I guess the essence of what I'm saying is, look at this from the standpoint of an actual revolution, if you want, that's going on. Now, I'm not using this in a pejorative necessarily sense, because it's done with a certain degree of legality. But it amounts to, you're talking about an insurrection. This is an insurrection by a political ideology and its followers, who are changing and trying to do a way to eradicate anything that went before. I mean, that's obvious. You can see that going on right now. The next thing, you're talking about the Congress with the Voting Act of the law. The next thing, as I understand it, on their agenda, which they may be doing as we talk, is to defund police or to modify, I guess they call it, police funding. And so, in other words, that you are going to, in effect, it would trickle down to reducing the number of police on the street and reducing their capacity to deal with crime. Now, I saw this yesterday from a legitimate source in Philadelphia, and it says in Philadelphia, there were 300 people shot since January 1st.
That's crazy.
What is this, March the 4th? In 2 months?
That sounds like an entire toll for you.
Shot. Yeah. 300 people shot. They're on track now for between 1,800 and 2,000 police, 2,000 shootings. These are not police shootings. These are criminal acts.
Right.
And so I believe it is probably maybe today or tomorrow they are set to vote on national defunding of police. Go figure.
Yeah.
Don't ask why. Again, that plays into my dictum, don't ask why. Oh, another thing, I'm sort of jumping around here. You guys, anytime you want, you'll stick your toe in the door and I'll let you in. But we get so overloaded with stuff.
But
the pictures of the National Guardsmen, the troops in Washington.
Yeah.
Dan Alexander with us, our crack news reporter here. Everybody has seen that now. The sad lot of these National Guardsmen eating rotten food. They look like homeless people. You're sleeping on the streets.
Letter to House Speaker Pelosi asking her to fire the company that's been handling the food catering for the guardsmen that are down. We have New Jersey has about 300 guardsmen down there now. And Michigan Guard also is affected by this, and they have asked for the caterer to be fired and to obviously improve the situation quickly. But yeah, they've been sleeping on the Senate floor, which really kind of surprised me, because I thought they would at least stay in barracks, or they stayed in I know the New Jersey troops, that when they were down there, they stay in hotels, so they're not necessarily part of the picture you're seeing. But it's very sad to see that.
Well, so this is a part of the. They should nickname the country Pelosivania.
Right.
because she seems to be in charge of this now, everything that's going on.
Well, apparently, Jim, going back to January 6th, apparently she had a lot of knowledge that's just coming out now prior to the attack on the Capitol, that they knew something was coming, that there was a credible threat, that they needed to deploy National Guard troops, and the command never came. They had at least a day's notice before this thing happened. And, you know, apparently the mayor of D.C., the Capitol Police chief, and possibly even the Speaker of the House had information about this. This is all still coming out. So who are we to believe? And today is supposed to be the big day in Washington, where it's the true inauguration day, going back, 1937 was the last time that March 4th was the inauguration day. But today is apparently, in some circles, people think that Donald Trump is going to come back today as the president.
That's interesting. It's like the political version of the rapture, which, of course, if the rupture, I guess, what's going on. There are groups who actually expect what Donald Trump to come down in a cloud, and he's surrounded by winged seraphs strumming stringed instruments, you know, in the back of the curtain, and regain the throne. I have serious doubts.
Yeah.
But nowadays, who the heck knows? It's ridiculous. You mentioned something very interesting about knowing in advance what was going on. And you have mentioned it many times, Rahm Emanuel's famous phrase that there's no crisis you can't take an advantage of, or words to that effect. Consider this. Now, this is a parallel. And consider how this plays into my notion of everything circulating around or involving power in one group. This group grabbing for power while they can, quickly, before people catch on. Do you remember, I was a toddler then, I guess, but in 1933, the Reichstag fire in Germany?
Oh, yeah, I've read about that, yes.
All right, well, what happened was, just briefly, is that the Nazi Party had won an election, and they talked Hindenburg, this legendary leader in Germany, they talked him into anointing a man named Adolf Hitler as chancellor. And so, in effect, the Nazi Party had great power in the Congress, or the effect, the legislature in Germany. But they didn't have all the power they wanted. And very conveniently, shortly after this was put in, they were put into that seat. Right. Very soon, the Reichstag, which is the equivalent of our capital, caught fire. Hmm. And so what happened was, and it's still arguable who set fire to it, but I think everybody knows they did it themselves. But what they did, they created a crisis, and this gave them the excuse for suspending civil liberties, saying enemies of the country did this. We have to deal with this. It was the communists. It was the Jews. They did it. We have to deal with this, but we need complete power. And so everybody said, well, if that's the case, yeah, we can't have this. So they gave them dictatorial power. That is how the Nazi Party got totalitarian power in New Jersey. Was based in New Jersey. Oh boy, Freudian slip. In Germany. It was through this crisis. Now, a parallel, and again, obviously, I'm not trying to compare any of the personalities involved in this with this, but as a matter of just historical fact, this group in Washington have taken advantage of the riot at the Capitol to say, boy, we need all of these troops,
right?
And we have to have all of this power. We have to have certain civil liberties suspended because we have this terrible threat. Well, they're expecting, I am told, or I read, they have these troops there because they're expecting some kind of an attack today.
Today, right.
I don't think there's a chance of a snowball, you know where, that there's going to be any kind of a problem.
I agree.
But it doesn't matter. This gives them the excuse. That ridiculous, dastardly attack by whoever the heck did it on the Capitol on the 6th of January, this opened the door for this. And it's the exact parallel to how other countries have created a threat.
Right.
And then it's like, you go back to ancient days, it's kind of like a knight who's down on his luck and he wants to make some money. So he comes riding into town and says, my God, there's a dragon out there, this terrible dragon. And I'll kill him if you'll give me this the money. So everybody just loads up their bags of coins and everything they have and give it to him. He's going to go out and save them from this threat. But it turns out he himself is the threat.
Right.
He's got his dumbass cousin sitting out there in a cave.
Yeah.
With a flamethrower pretending he's a dragon. So it's setting up a it is Rahm Emanuel's thing of taking advantage of a crisis.
And hence our message here on the Facebook this morning: has the COVID pandemic become a political pandemic? And I think you're illustrating that point very well. Turning over to the reopening with the mask debate this past week. Texas and Mississippi have lifted all of their mask mandates statewide, allowing businesses and the like to open up at 100%. And everybody is bashing them, from the president on down, calling them Neanderthals. And the governors are Neanderthal with their Neanderthal thinking, and really just bashing them. And frankly, when people are just hearing that headline, oh, yeah, those guys are real bad, people aren't taking time to really just unpeel and just look at the layers of what's involved here. In my opinion, and you know, I could be wrong, the governors in Texas and Mississippi have just given the people the freedom to move on, to open up. It's not saying that you can't wear a mask, but it's not required. So if you want to protect yourself and wear a mask, and if you don't want to frequent an establishment that's open at 100% and it's getting a little crowded for you, stay home. But at least those governors are giving their citizens the freedom to choose, which we have not had since these parliamentary rules have gone in last March, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Well, your freedom of choice is being eroded. This is part and parcel of the other thing I was talking about. This imposing the restrictions and the power. And one of the problems, at least that I have with it, I don't see any coherent delineation of what they're after. What is the end game of this political convolution that's going on? What is the end game? Nobody's talking about that. And so that leaves us to speculate, and we speculate without knowledge, we go wild. Consequently, all of these wild theories out there, because the human mind is programmed to want to make sense. It's a survival mechanism. You have to know which tiger was going to get you,
right,
and which rabbit out there wasn't, you know, so you had to have some kind of certainty. You mentioned the governors. How about Governor Cuomo?
Yeah.
This is a fascinating study right now. And it shows how the bar of political correctness has been lowered and lowered and lowered. At one time, if you were accused of criminal sexual harassment, you know perfectly well the person accused had physically attacked somebody and worked their wicked will upon that person.
Right.
This has dropped down and down and down, and to the point it's almost looking cross-eyed at somebody if they make a subjective judgment that you have a Turian thought in your head. But I think, without getting into that, I think the charges against Governor Cuomo, when the sexual harassment thing, I have a bit of trouble with that, because what these acts that he performed, I would not claim that they may not have offended people, but these are simply the acts of an ego run amok, which the man obviously has. There's no accusation that he physically assaulted anybody, and yet this is the charge, simply because subjectively somebody said, well, I thought he might. But the point is that I want to make, there is so much furor about this that it is overshadowing the big question,
right,
of the behavior of Mario Cuomo, who was back with the nursing home,
Andrew,
of sending these people into oblivion, really.
Right.
But you wonder if the sexual harassment thing, if he's not stirring it up himself, because it's diverting attention from the real problem.
Every time he speaks, he just really takes himself a bigger hole, really.
Probably. But again, you see, this is the great beauty of having an unassailable megalomaniacal personality, being a real psycho. You cannot see or understand or grasp the fact that you've done anything wrong. And there we are. This, you know, I'd read this before. And I'm not sure of the author of this. I have a suspicion, but I don't know. But it says the thing was, imagine a small handful of ridiculously wealthy, powerful psychopaths that they could make you believe anything they wanted by simply controlling what they put on TV.
Right. Yes.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Man, we got Washington to be changed it to Hubris City, USA.
Mm.
You've got colossal egos going here. So here we are. And I meant to open with this by saying this. I say, welcome to American Civil War II. We had World Wars I and II. We had Civil Wars I and II. We're in Civil War II right now. Civil War I, and they're diametrically opposed in their purpose. Civil War I was fought over unifying the country. Civil War II, where we find ourselves now, at least a cold Civil War, is based on tearing the country apart.
Right.
And so you wonder, what was the purpose of the first one if we end up here in the second one, back worse than we were when we started?
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to take. I talked to somebody yesterday. They talk about turning into a socialist country. I don't think many people, anyway, fear socialism as much as they fear the idiocy, this woke stuff that's going on, the cancel culture, which actually has nothing to do with a political ideology. This is a social ideologies that are absurd. They're asinine. Everybody should be able to see that, but people for some reason join in, for whatever their reason is. I talked to someone who made a very interesting comment. This person is part of a business in this country. They are going to move. He said that they're going to move to another country because, again, it's a small business, but they're going to move because they cannot take, you know, ending up with their stomach turned upside down every day with the asininity and the fear that somebody's going to come along and dig up something that when they were 12 years old, they looked cross-eyed at somebody. Therefore, they are going to be canceled, you know, which is happening. They're dredging up these idiotic things from way back in the past that meant nothing and destroying careers over it. So I said, where are you going to move to? Well, he told me. I said, my God, that's a socialist country. And it is. So here's a case. It's not a big country, not one of the Western countries. I won't say what it is, but it's a country that has extremely well-working socialism, but it's basic socialism. It's not tainted with what we have, this idiotic PC poison. And so, but here's somebody who we are all fearing socialism, this country, which it is going toward. But in the process of it, we are causing people to be so revolted by it that they're moving to a socialist country to get out of the United States of America, which is supposed to be the bastion of freedom.
Yeah.
It is very ironic.
So you had mentioned the marijuana bill a few minutes ago. This thing has really taken a bizarre turn. The latest is that the bill passed. Dan can chime in if he'd like. But there's a couple of little caveats there that it really restricts the police, and they're able to enforce, violations for those using it if they're minors. Right, Dan?
Yeah, basically, an officer cannot, if an officer smells marijuana during a traffic stop, and it's a juvenile under 18, they're not supposed to notify parents. And it's actually the first two offenses. It's not grounds for an arrest, and they cannot notify parents of the violation for the first two times it happens. The third time, all bets are off, and then parents get involved. But the first two times, they can't. And it's drawing a response from a lot of law enforcement around the state. Last night, the Seaside Heights Borough Council passed a resolution asking for a repeal of that measure. Urging citizens to call their legislators to repeal it. A couple of other, the mayor in Bridgewater has said that he's against it. Robbinsville, South Brunswick's police chief, a lot of various...
A number of them. We went through this last week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still a story. It's still current. And Bob, you sent me this statement by a chief of police. I don't remember the town. It was a North Jersey town.
Yep, it was in Mount Olive.
It's very typical. Where was it?
Mount Olive. And
Mount Olive.
They're basically
it's very typical. But here's going to be the result of that, Dan and Bob. What's going to happen is this going to put this thing off even further.
Yeah.
You know, because now they're saying that these laws will not. Well, that one's in effect now, I take it. But coming up, the marijuana. When is it, Dan? They said early next year the whole thing may kick in. Well, this will probably put it off if we have to stop and make amendments to it.
Well, the law about law enforcement is now in effect. It's the markets for selling, the means to sell recreational marijuana. That's still yet to be worked out.
Are growing it, too, I understand.
You cannot grow it. You still cannot legally grow it.
Yeah, and the towns can opt out of this law that allows it if they want and forbid anybody from doing it in their town.
But interestingly, a lot of the towns that had previously said that they were not going to participate, they have to start over again to again reject it. They can't. Their previous votes are null and void.
How in the world, without towering genius, can you mess up a simple thing like legalization of recreational use of marijuana? You give that challenge to a bunch of monkeys at a zoo, and they will come up more quickly.
Yeah.
Dan, I'd like to look at what's under the water here. What could be the undercurrent that's stopping this? That's the Luddite throwing the monkey wrench into the machinery. At every turn, somebody throws a monkey wrench into the machinery. What's going on?
The big thing, I mean, obviously, the law happens ultimately with the signature from the governor. And in this case, Governor Murphy was interested in social justice. And he did not want to see, he believes that black and brown members of the population were targeted or cited more often than not, and he wanted to see he wanted to put an end to that, and he felt that by this he insisted on that legislation before it would pass.
Well, now you go back and listen to a transcript of what you said, which I'm sure is accurate. You tell me what it means in English, and how this has any bearing on the situation. The fact that I believe in that they use this social justice for everything.
Right.
Well, what the hell does that have to do with this? What he said, maybe what you have quoted him as saying, is probably true, but that's another issue.
Well, he thinks it's an issue with marijuana and drug use and drug use and youth, and that's where he's kind of planting his flag, and that's how this legislation came to be.
You see, that to me makes absolutely no sense. It has no relation to the problem.
Well,
and yet, I guess if you get up and yell social justice enough, everybody will, you yell social justice or racism, it will stop a bull elephant in full charge.
Yeah.
You fall over. I don't know.
Last thing I wanted to bring up for you today is gas prices. This is really ticking me off. I called Dan after the first of the year. I went into my gas station. It was $2.15. And then all of a sudden, the next day, it went to $2.35. I called Dan immediately. I said, hey, Dan, does this have anything to do with our gas tax here in the state? Did that kick in or something like that? And Dan says, no, not that he's aware of. And he didn't have any idea what was going on, what was causing the raise in the price. And now here we are, 6-8 weeks later, and the price of gas nationwide is between 50 and 70 cents more per gallon than it was. I am just completely, I just don't know what to think of that. Why is it like that? It's just nuts.
I know I overdo quoting because I spend much of my time reading and I sort of think that.
But, so it's just an incredible amount of, It's just crazy how much that
Bob, we seem to have lost Jim.
So that seemed we were just talking, Dan, about how much that gas has just gone up and why. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, and President Trump, he had a speech over the weekend. He says, more to come. He says, enjoy it. Well, we could go to between $4 to $6 a gallon if things aren't changed. And here's Jim. Jim's back.
Oh, he's upside down, but we got him back. It's live. The equivalent of live radio.
a famous book and a famous movie called Catch 22. Joseph Heller wrote Catch 22. Here's the catch. You know, you've heard this story. Well, here's the catch. He said, Catch 22 was, they can do anything to you that you cannot stop them from doing. And he was regarding the government there.
Right.
I want to start on stop here on a hopeful thing, if I can squeeze in a hopeful note. I've never seen, Bill Maher, is that his name, who has the television program?
Yeah.
Okay, Bill Maher, I've never seen him except in his movie. You remember the movie he was in? He was a star in a movie one time. It was called Amazon Women in the Avocado Jungle of Love. It was a bad movie, but Bill Maher, anyway, he is a notable liberal. And yet he has said something that I think is a note of hope. Here is maybe somebody turning and finally looking the problem in the eye. He is urging people to resist woke, was his term, to resist the cancel culture, to stop apologizing, to stand up for what you believe, stand up to it, reject this pressure that's on you. I thought that was very significant,
yeah.
And I certainly would agree with him 100%. Every now and again, you find somebody who is standing up to it, but if enough do it. And again, I will go back to that quote that I've used before from Edward R. Murrow, and I'll end with that, saying that a nation of sheep will create a government of wolves. Hello. Hello.
Right. Great way to end. Thank you, Jim. And we'll be here every Thursday, next Thursday at 10:30, right here on Facebook Live. You can catch our podcast on demand anytime you want at NJ1015.com on the New Jersey 101.5 app and all of our other station platforms. Dan Alexander, thanks for all your help and support, our director and our producer, and our host, Jim Gerhardt. Thank you very much, Jim. And
yeah, I was going to see. I'm turned back up right now. I was going to see if I could drink coffee upside down. Hey, everybody, God bless you, and please take care of us. And we will, God willing, try this again, see if we can get this big thing off the ground again next week. Bye.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.